Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
What do you think of that, Kate? Was that pretty impressive, this big time?
Wow. How did you get that, Dave Lewis? I'm impressed.
I don't have that voice. I had to hire someone to do that.
I wonder how many thousands you had to pay them for that, but that was pretty good.
Actually, that was like a Subway sandwich and a high five trade. That was about it.
I love it.
We have friends in the business. Kate Scott from the Morning Roast, 95.7 The Game. Soon, the NBA.
Oh, geez.
That's really why I called you, because I heard about that announcement a week or so ago, and you're going to get this unbelievable opportunity doing a Warriors game. I'll let you take it from there, though.
And thanks for having me today, Dave. I thought you were just calling because it was a day that ended in Y and we've known each other forever. But I understand that you want to talk about the Warriors game. But yeah, just wild. Last week on the roast, as we call it, Tim Roy was just, you know, our guest because Warriors were kicking off the second half of the season. So thought we'd talk a little ball with him. And then at the end of the interview, he said, "Hey, Kate, you know, what are you doing on March 29th? So I literally, on live radio, pull up my calendar and I look and I'm like, okay, well, looks like I'm hosting the radio show that morning and then going to be watching Warriors Bulls that night. And he says, "No, you're not going to be watching the game. You're going to be calling the game." And I was very confused, as listeners can attest who were listening that day. And yeah, come to find out that he and the Warriors and 95.7, who's the Warriors flagship. Hold on. I'll be back there.
Don't silence the dog. Who is that?
That's Piper. That's Piper, the rescue pit bull. Piper, let's get a treat, kid. I'll be back in a second.
You mentioned rescue, Kate, but the folks I know that have rescued dogs, they can testify that the dog rescued us.
Amen to that, Dave. First dog I've ever had, grew up with cats. But wife is deathly allergic, so we said, you know, let's get a dog. And I'll be honest, it was quite a transition for the first 6 months because they're much more needy, obviously, than a cat. But now, especially a year plus into this pandemic, we love her so much. She gets us outside because, you know me, I'm a workaholic, so I could stare at my computer from 5 a.m. to midnight working. And makes us laugh and pisses us off. So very similar to kids, but I think a little less responsibility and shorter lifespan too. But
well, the dogs appreciate when you feed them, unlike a kid.
That's so true.
Hey, Kate, why did you pick pit bull? Good for you for doing that.
That's a good question. A lot of people now, again, in retrospect, maybe adopting a 6-year-old 60-pound pit bull for our first dog wasn't the best idea, but we have so many friends who have them, and they've always told us, you know, they get such a bad rap. And getting to know the breed over the past number of years through friends who've had them, I was like, wow, it's so true. They, if they're trained and if they're loved, they are the sweetest dogs. And they even used to be called nanny dogs years ago because they're so protective of children that people would leave, you know, go out to their little 1920s party, leave the kids at home without a babysitter, but just with the pit bull at home. And we've come to realize that a couple of our friends have little babies. And whenever we see them, she lays right down on the ground right in front of the kid. Or if they're in a stroller, is always turning around, looking at them, licking their face, and then continuing on with the walk, but just making sure they're okay. So they definitely are one of those dogs, understandably, for all the things that have happened over the years, get a bad rap. But we love her. And I think she's going to be the first of many because she is just a sweetheart, a snuggle bug, and can play fetch until she drops. So this old softball pitcher loves that. We get out and get a workout together.
Was Piper already trained when you got her?
Thankfully, she was pretty well trained. She had obviously come from a really good group who apparently they had to rehome her for whatever reason. So had to give her to the SPCA over here in the East Bay. But so she had a pretty good base. But then we worked with a pit bull specific trainer for about a year. And she really pretty much trained us how to understand, right? Like what the dog is saying, what they're trying to tell you with their different barks, because they have different barks, just like kids have different yells. And so yeah, now that we know all that stuff, we are confident and we're proud to say that we're, you know, rescue owners.
How do you identify a different bark? Like what bark means what?
Oh, good question. Well, there's some that are a little bit like, hey, a little high pitched. How was that? That was pretty good, right? Which is usually like, Mom, gotta go to the bathroom. Mom, let me out. We've trained her to stand near the front door when that needs to happen, so that's good. Other times, there's a frustration bark, which is usually, Mom, I really want to go play with that ball or that other person. A little bit deeper in the bark, and then there's some angry barks, you know, the mailman just goes by, as you heard earlier. So what are you doing? I'm protecting the house. Who's out there? So, see, now I just sound like the biggest dog nerd. This is what happens when I find something new, whether it's a sport to call or a dog or food, I just go all in, as you can tell.
No, the dog's going to change your life. I mean, in a good way.
She already has. I can't imagine not sitting watching sports at night without her sitting right next to me on the couch with her head on my lap. Just makes every hard day that much better, just with some little cuddles at the end of the night.
Well, Kate, how do you juggle a work schedule then and having a pet?
It is helpful to have a wife who is willing to take the dog out in the morning, because that was one of the difficult things, right? Like, started the radio gig back in October, and I was always in charge of the morning walk, but now I'm in a closet broadcasting from 6 to 10 a.m., and she wakes up and got to go to the bathroom. So helps to have that. And we also have a wonderful dog walker who, thanks to, you know, the fact that we both still have our jobs and have the privilege of having that extra income, have been able to keep her on all throughout the pandemic. So she's so great with dogs and is there whenever we need her, which is awesome.
Has the station given you any indication when you'll go back to normal with everybody in the studio again?
They have not. Got the first email today, actually, about we're starting to look at planning for. But I think it's going to be a while longer. So excited for whenever that is, because, you know, Dave, I mean, it's hard enough doing a 3-person radio show without being in the same studio.
Right.
So the fact that we have launched the show back in October and have now done it for, gosh, it's almost 6 months just over Zoom. Hasn't been easy, that's for sure. The nonverbal communication is not easy in a tiny little square on your computer. But I think that means that when we get back into the studio, hopefully we'll take a giant leap, just because we're able to see each other and won't be stepping on each other as much.
What about the adjustment in changing your lifestyle? Like, how early do you get up to pull this off and prep for a show?
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of my prep at night. A lot of people think, oh, you're just working 6 to 10 in the morning. The rest of your day must be easy. But as you know, Dave, you know, I'm paying attention to sports the rest of the day. We always have a show call every day, either right after the show or in the afternoon. If there's, you know, a trade deadline or free agency or something starts at noon, we'll talk later in the day. And then watching the game at night and then spending a couple of hours putting the show together. When do we want to talk about what? Was there some sound that somebody tweeted out that we want to use as a talking point the next day? So I do a lot of my prep. I usually go to bed around 10, which is too late, but you know, it's what you can do. And then wake up between 4:30 and 5. That's one of the nice things about broadcasting from home right now. I'll probably be waking up at 4 once we go back in studio, but 4:35, wake up, get coffee, go into the office, and do, you know, 30, 45 more minutes just to see if anything broke, like the Trent Williams news did the other night at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And then pop into the studio, make sure everything's queued up and working and stuff, and then get to it at 6 a.m.
Who was it, Kate, that you looked up to? I know right now you're considered a role model for a lot of women in the business, but what about you coming up as a woman sportscaster when there weren't as many?
Yeah. Yeah. That's very kind of you, Dave. I'm old enough that there was very few women who were involved in sports in any way. So, you know, I remember watching SportsCenter with Linda Cohn and Robin Roberts, and it's almost funny to me now that so many people think of Robin Roberts as the Good Morning America anchor, which obviously she's been now longer than she was at ESPN, I'm sure. But it was Linda and Robin, and then it was, you know, Leslie Visser and Andrea Kramer and Bonnie Bernstein, Michelle Tafoya, Hannah Storm, Susie Colbert. Those were like the handful of sideline reporters I remember. And I also remember, because I read the Sporting Green all the time when I was a little kid and the Fresno Bee. And I remember seeing the bylines for Ann Killian and Susan Slusser and Joan Ryan and Lisa Olson, and thinking to myself, okay, there's not that many, but there's some. So I wasn't able to put two and two together when I was a little girl, but I definitely remember always looking for their names, and I would be really eager to read those articles when I was a little girl.
The pigeonhole role for women were the sideline reporters and some in studio. What about play-by-play, and who influenced you in terms of that scientific part of broadcasting.
Yeah. And that's why, again, even while I was at Cal in the early 00s, it wasn't until I was there that I saw and heard Beth Moens and Pam Ward calling, you know, late Friday night whack football games out here on the West Coast. That was the first time I heard a woman calling games. I know that there was a few Gail Searins, right, on the other side of the country, but I was too young when that happened. So it wasn't until then that I even heard a woman calling, and it wasn't until after I graduated from college that a friend of mine, Paul Aldridge, who was one of the first to help me get involved in this business, said, hey, I think you should do this. And literally it wasn't until then that I even put those things together. Like, oh, I heard Beth and Pam and, oh, okay, maybe this is something I could do. But it took a lot of poking and prodding. And now all these years later, Beth is a great friend and a huge mentor of mine. So I would put her number one on the list when it comes to women that made me believe I could do this and then have helped support me along the way to getting here now.
I remember when you started doing sideline for high school games and even get a little play-by-play bone every now and then during a high school game.
Yeah.
Was that always part of the big picture? Hey, take any gig you can get. Maybe advice you give to some young broadcaster, take any gig you can get to get the experience, to get the reps.
Oh yeah. Take every gig you can get, Dave. I mean, you know, for a number of years, you're lucky if you're even breaking even, let alone making any money. I still remember saying yes to like high school sideline up in Sacramento for $125. So after I would drive there and back with the gas, with whatever, you know, cheap fast food I was buying that day, I'd get ready in a Target or Bed Bath & Beyond bathroom. But it was just, it was the experience, right? It was getting to work with those people, hopefully impressing a couple of producers and directors. And then just having one more thing you could put on the resume reel. And again, one more practice, because it's all about the reps when it comes to this. So say yes to whatever it is that people are offering you, even if it's not what you want to do, because I really think the more you know about this industry and the more jobs you understand, the better you're going to be at whatever it is that in the end you actually want to do.
You've done NFL preseason on the radio. You're adding a bunch of hockey to your resume. Of course, your Pac-12 stuff. Is there any one event that you've covered so far where you've kind of looked in the mirror and said, man, I can't believe I'm doing this?
Yeah, all of them have been pretty overwhelming. But actually last year doing the NHL game was the first time that I think I was confident enough in my ability that I was able to actually be in the moment. You know, as amazing, as wonderful as the 49ers opportunity was and the Pac-12, and I, you know, sent Bob Sargent a note actually the other day when the Warriors game was announced. Bob's really high up in communications with the 49ers. And I said, Bob, you're the moon lander. You started this trend. And he started cracking up because he was the one that really pushed and helped me get ready for those 49ers games back in 2016. But yeah, to answer your question, the NHL game last year, I mean, I'm standing in the booth in the United Center where Michael Jordan won all those championships, where the Blackhawks, you know, won 3 Stanley Cups in the last decade and a bunch more before. And I'm standing beside an Olympic gold medalist, got another Olympic gold medalist down ringside as our behind the glass reporter. And they like these two storied franchises, Blues and Blackhawks, and thinking to myself, this is incredible. And I am so grateful to be a part of this. And also I'm ready. Like let's dive in and have fun. I'm surrounded by such great talent that does this each and every day that this might be my first hockey game, but everybody else is ready to be there in any way that I need them. So let's just lean in and trust your prep and trust your knowledge and have a blast. And it went really well. And that's why I've gotten to call more hockey since and going to be calling more hockey in the next few weeks and have fallen in love with the sport, Dave. I never in a million years expected to call hockey because it's always looked like the hardest sport to call. And now that I'm doing it, I can attest it's like football on speed because it's so fast and you can't see faces and all you have to be able to identify numbers in you know, the snap of a finger. But it is so fun because of that energy and excitement and pace. So yeah, that was the first one really for me last year.
How will your prep be different for NBA basketball? Because you've done so much television as the play-by-play announcer. As you know, you quite often set up your analyst and you don't have to be as descriptive. Now with radio, you're the man, you're the girl, Ashley, right? And you are describing everything, painting the picture, and then allowing a little bit of room for the analyst.
Yeah. And that's actually, speaking of hockey, where I think the hockey is going to really help me right now, because I'm going to be calling hockey actually for 2 of the 3 days right before the Warriors Bulls game next week. And as you know, Dave, even though I'm calling it on television, it is very much a radio call. You, because it moves so fast, you have to be identifying every player and what they're doing. So I'm, even though the prep right now for all of these games at once is pretty overwhelming and I'm exhausted, it's a good exhaustion, because I really think that that is going to get my mind and, as funny as it sounds, my mouth, like, moving at the pace that I know it will need to be for radio. Because, you know, Dave, you've done both for years. You know, TV basketball is Stephen Curry. Got it, because you can see everything that's happening. But on the radio, you're like, Steph, top of the key, behind the back, down to the right block, out to the right corner, passes to Dre. Like, you have to be able to describe everything. So, yeah, I'm, you know, a little nervous, but it's a good nervous energy. And again, really thankful that I have those three hockey games in the days right before the game.
That was pretty good. It's like you've done this before.
A few games at this point. I don't know if it's up to your level, Dave Lewis, but hopefully
we'll get that soon. Hey, who are your basketball role models in terms of play-by-play for radio? I mean, do you listen to Tim Roy all the time? Or, you know, what are you thinking about in terms of how you're going to describe it?
Yeah, pretty much Tim Roy. You know, I've been listening to him for years, going back to when I started my radio career here in the Bay, and have been lucky enough to kind of be with the Warriors flagship when it was with KNBR, and now that it's with the game. Because I love playing the radio highlights, right? Because they're on the radio for a reason. As I just said, they're more descriptive than when you're playing a television highlight on the radio. And Tim just does just a fantastic job of, you know, all the little intricacies, not over-modulating, not screaming into the microphone, using descriptors that one can easily understand. Again, because basketball is so fast on the radio that you can, as a broadcaster, easily get caught up in too big a words or whatever. And also, you can make things, if you're too inside the game, you can kind of make it confusing for a casual fan who's just trying to get into the sport on the radio. So again, just another reason I'm grateful that he's willing to step aside for the night, and that he's been, probably unbeknownst to him, such a great teacher for me over the years as well, just getting to listen to him and observe from afar.
So I heard that on the radio, and you're telling me that was an organic radio moment. It wasn't, I mean, you could tell me, no one's going to know. I mean, just between you and me. That wasn't a planned thing. Hey, let's go ahead and we'll make the announcement that you actually.
No, I was so mad, Dave. I was so mad at them, because I told my boss as soon as we went to break, I said, you guys realize I'm calling a hockey that weekend. And my boss goes, what? And I said, yeah, check your email. So it just, we got very lucky, because, you know, college sports, Pac-12, hockey, there's just a lot going on right now. So I was, I think, equally pissed and excited and grateful all at the same time. But they said, okay, well, in the future, we won't do that to you again. But we just thought it would be really great radio. And for everybody who was listening, they seemed to enjoy it. So I'm glad they did. I'm still pissed at them, but I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, you'll get over it. You'll get over your anger.
Exactly, please. Right? I think I'm over it already.
What is your ultimate play-by-play gig?
Right now, and you know this changes, right, Dave? I'm sure that you had once changed over the years. The Olympics and the World Cup.
Yes.
I know a lot of people always say Super Bowl and World Series, and those are wonderful. Years from now, who knows, maybe they'll become my goals. But I grew up as a kid who wanted to play in the Olympics. I was a huge, you know, Mia Hamm, Michelle Akers, women's soccer fan growing up. So I saw them winning gold medals, and I thought that is going to be it. Winning gold medals and winning World Cups, that's what I wanted to do, because soccer was my sport. Didn't work out. That led to my switch to sports broadcasting. So now, if I could ever get the opportunity to call anything at the Olympics and do anything again at the World Cup, you know, obviously I'd love to call matches, but if they need a reporter, if they need a host, if they need an anchor, really anything. So those are the two on the bucket broadcasting list. Hopefully I'll get a check off in the next couple of decades.
No, you're certainly on that arc right now. Mine is the NCAA tournament. To do that event on radio or TV would be the ultimate.
Yeah, that would be... Well, I will keep my fingers crossed for you, because you are a fantastic broadcaster, Dave, and I would love to hear you call into March Madness.
Kate, how important is it for you to be a role model. I've seen quotes about this where people would ask you about, oh, you know, be a woman in broadcasting. But now they ask you about play-by-play, the significance in having that impact on other young women.
Yeah, it's so important to me. In fact, when people ask me, like, how or what will you need to accomplish in order to consider your career a success? And I truly mean it when I say, if and when I hang up the microphone, if there's tons more women calling games, and also, you know, tons of non-white men, just tons of people who, when I was a little girl, were like me and didn't believe that they would ever get the chance to do this. If I have hopefully opened the door for a lot of them to get into this industry, have jobs that they love, be it, you know, voices of teams or working for networks, then I will consider my career a success, because that truly is the most important thing to me. I wouldn't have gotten here, you know, Dave, without the support of people like you and Bob Sargent, and I could name so many people who have stood up for me and given me a chance. So I want to do whatever I can to pay that forward, to help open, you know, not just crack open the door, but bust things open a little bit, so that all the people, because we know sports is the thing that still, after all these years, brings people from all walks of life together, I think, more than anything else. And there's a lot of those sports fans who want to be able to do this, but for whatever reason, didn't believe they could in the past. So yeah, it's extremely important to me. Mentoring is extremely important to me. I mentor a handful of young women and men as well right now. And I'm always trying to, you know, give feedback on reels whenever kids reach out to me and stuff, because it's really important. I'm so obviously happy and grateful and excited for everything that's happening in my career right now, but it's about so much more than that, because my career is just going to be a little blip in the life of sports. So I hope that a lot of people will be able to do this after I hang it up.
Once upon a time, ambitious young traffic reporter. Every now and then getting a bone filling in on sports on KCBS. And,
yes, thank you for that.
And to watch what you've done is truly impressive. I'm super proud of you.
Thank you, Dave. That means so much. Thank you.
With Rescue Dog Piper, that's Kate Scott from 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast, 6 to 10 a.m., making her NBA debut March 29th, Golden State Warriors against the Chicago Bulls. Thanks a lot, Kate. I know you crush it. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on Google Play, iTunes, YouTube, and iHeartRadio. Your positive comments, 5-star reviews are huge. Certainly help out a lot. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.